remember some of the myths that we were told growing up. Tooth fairy, Easter bunny, Santa Claus. For the most part, these myths were harmless. No harm, no foul. But there are other myths that people are told that are extremely harmful. Certain things that somebody may tell you about God, or about the devil, or about heaven or hell. And depending on just what it is they're spinning, those myths could be eternally harmful.
Amen.
But people buy into myths. They buy into it. They believe it. They think it and believe it with all of their heart, and yet none of it is true. It's just a myth. This morning, we want to take a look at one area in which a whole lot of myths come from. We want to take a look at myths about forgiveness. There are a lot of things that people believe about forgiveness that aren't true. They are myths. But even though they're untrue, with all of their soul, they've bought into it, and so they live as if they were true. There was an elderly man who was dying. And for many years, he had been out of fix with another man who earlier in their lives were the best of friends. So this man who was dying called his friend and asked him if he would come to him. And they saw each other face to face for the first time in years. And the man told him, he said, "Listen, I'm about to die." And he said, "I am afraid to go out into eternity feeling the way I feel about you." So for 2 hours, they went back and forth. And they straightened everything out, and it was peace. So the man got up to leave, and as he got up to leave, the man who was on his dying bed there called him back again, and he said, "Now remember, if I get well, this conversation never happened." Amen? Listen, what I just said, that is what the world has done with forgiveness. We say, "I forgive." But the least little issue will quickly bring up the past. We say, "I forgive." But those past grievances never seem to be too far from our minds. We say, "I forgive." And then we go out and bury the hatchet and leave the handle sticking up so we can readily go out there and get it. Myths about forgiveness. Lesson has 2 parts. You're getting both parts today. You're welcome. First of all, we're going to take a look at 3 myths that people hold to about forgiveness. They're not true, but people believe them. And then the second thing we're going to do this morning is we want to take a look at the truth about forgiving others. What is the truth about that? First, let's start with the myths. The first myth I draw your attention to is this: God could never forgive me. I want you to take a look at that. That's not true. That is a myth, that God could ever forgive me. Now, usually people are, they tend to be at one extreme or another about this one. First, there are some people who don't think that they need to be forgiven about anything. The Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, Jesus talks about that Pharisee, and he talks about how he went up into the temple with a tax collector. And the Pharisee went into the temple, and Jesus said that he stood and began to pray. The Greek there says that the Pharisee literally struck a pose in the temple. And he began to pray, but it was a weird prayer. He began to thank God that he wasn't like other men were. And he began to tell God about all of the things that he has been doing, and basically telling God how fortunate God was to have him on his side. Now, he went to the temple to pray. Are you listening? But he never prayed. He never prayed. And the man certainly never prayed for forgiveness, because that Pharisee believed with all of his heart that there was nothing that he needed to receive forgiveness for. But then on the other end of this spectrum, there are some people who look back on their lives, and they look at all of the sins of their lives, and they draw the conclusion, well, God could never forgive me for all that I've done. Listen, that's a myth. That's a myth. Now, let me share with you the three great truths about God and forgiveness. Here is where God stands on that. Number one, God forgives because it is his nature to forgive. God forgives because it is his nature to forgive. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 6, at the end of verse 6, the Apostle Paul said that while we were helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. Listen to me. While we were weak, while we were powerless, while we were helpless, nothing, Christ died for the ungodly. What would prompt such an act? Two verses later, in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8, Paul said, but God commended his love. That is, God demonstrated his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Understand, there's nothing worthy about any of us that God ought to forgive us. Don't ever go there. Don't ever go there. There's nothing worthy about any of us that God should ever forgive us. But God does forgive us. So why does he forgive us? Brethren, he forgives us because that's his nature. That's what God does. God forgives. And he forgives because that's his nature to forgive. The second great truth about God and forgiveness is this: God stands ready to forgive. He stands ready to forgive. In Luke, the 15th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse, it's the parable of the prodigal son. Understand that in the parable, God represents the Father. And in the parable, the prodigal represents you and me. All of us at one point have played the role of the prodigal. The prodigal goes to his father. He says, "Give me the portion of goods that fall to me." Now, he wasn't supposed to receive the inheritance till after the father died, but in the mind of the prodigal, the father wasn't getting around to that quick enough. So the father gives him his share of the inheritance, and the son goes off. The Bible says that he went off into the far country and wasted those possessions. Please understand that more than anything else, what sin is a waste. It is a waste. Now, let me ask you something. How long was the prodigal gone? Was he out there a day? Was he out there a week or a month? Was he out there a year or even a number of years? We're not told how long he was out there, but I know this from the passage. He was out there for a while. He was in the far country, so it'd take him a while to get there. He was out there long enough to have wasted the inheritance. He was out there long enough to then get a job taking care of pigs. He was out there long enough to be eating what they were eating. So he was out there for a while. Listen to me. He disgraced himself. He disgraced his father. He disgraced his family. He was a mess. And then he came to his senses. Listen, when that boy turned and headed for home, what did the father do? In verse 20 of Luke 15, the Bible says that the father saw his son a great way off. He saw the boy out in the distance. How do you see out in the distance? Only one way. You're looking out there. And I can imagine the father every day that the boy was gone, going down that road the boy had left and looking for that boy to come home. It says that he saw him afar off. It then says that he ran to him. I'm telling you, in all of your Bible, there is no greater picture of God from a human point of view than God running to meet a sinner who's coming home to repent. None. It says that the father fell on his neck and he kissed him. God stands ready to forgive. Through this whole saga, the Father's love and the Father's forgiveness never ever wavered for that boy. And thank God the prodigal son never bought into the myth that I can't go home because if I go home, Daddy won't forgive me. The prodigal never bought into that. God could never forgive me for my life. You're wrong. That's a myth. That's not true. the truth about God and forgiveness. God forgives because that's his nature. That's what he does. The truth about it is that God, like the prodigal, he stands ready to forgive. The third great truth about God and forgiveness is that God's forgiveness is only meaningful if you accept it. The Father stood waiting for the prodigal. But I'm telling you, the prodigal would have died lost if he had not returned back to the Father and accepted the Father's forgiveness. God's forgiveness means nothing until you accept it. Preacher, you don't know where I've been and you don't know what I've done. God could never forgive me. Listen to me carefully. And I'm not going to stutter. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how long you stayed. I don't care what you've done. You come back and God will forgive you. Listen, please understand this. Please understand this. God stands ready to forgive you. God is willing to forgive you. But you will live and you will die lost if you do not accept that forgiveness. God could never forgive me. That's myth number one. Myth number two, I can never forgive, you fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. Listen, that's a myth. That's a myth. Now, some of us, scratch that. Most of us have someone whom we find it is very difficult to forgive. I don't care how quiet you are, it's still true. Just sit there looking like, oh, not me. You. Most of us have someone whom we find difficult to forgive, right? Yes. Don't mention a name. But they have done something to you. They have said something about you. You didn't make it up. They did it. They said it. And it hurt. And as a result, listen, as a result of what they did or what they said, you're bitter. And your bitterness has locked you in a prison cell of anger. Now here's the good news. The good news is that forgiveness is the key that unlocks that cell. Did you hear me? Forgiveness will unlock the door of that prison that you're in. This morning, If you have past memories that are causing you to be bitter, if you have feelings towards somebody that you shouldn't have, and they have made you bitter, and you sit here this morning and you have those feelings, and if these feelings are robbing you of the happiness and the joy that the Lord intended you to have, let it go. Let it go. You know why we don't let it go? You know why we don't let it go? Because we bought into that myth. We have bought into that myth. That's why we don't let it go. Because we've convinced ourselves, I could never forgive so-and-so. So regardless of what happened, you're not going to forgive so-and-so. But you need to realize that that is a myth. You need to realize that's a myth. And hanging on to it is what's causing you not to forgive them. You say, well, you know what, you forgive, and then, you know, there's trust. Listen to me, forgiveness and trust are two different things. Listen to the word, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is something you give. Trust must be earned. It's a myth. God can never forgive me. Nonsense. Well, I could never forgive such and so. Nonsense. And if you let it go, you'll be better. Number three. This is a big one. You ready? To forgive is to forget. Nonsense. Nonsense. To forgive is to forget. You're welcome. Now, here's what we have to do first here. We got to get real. This out here, this the real world. And this is how everybody's brain functions. Everybody. Whenever someone does something to you that is very painful, whether it's painful physically or emotionally, but when someone does something to us that is painful, it makes a mark on our brain. It makes a mark on our brain, and you just can't go poof and it goes away. Our brain doesn't do that. So then what is the answer? Here, let me show you the answer. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34, God is speaking. Now I want you to listen to what God says of what he's going to do. And it's two parts. God said, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sin no more. There's two parts to that. God said, I will forgive their wickedness. God has the capacity to forgive. And then he says, I will choose not to remember their sins. When God says, I will remember their sins no more, that doesn't mean that God is senile all of a sudden. But God has the capacity to forgive. And once he forgives, then God chooses not to remember. God chooses to forget the sin. Brethren, forgiveness is choosing not to remember. Forgiveness is choosing not to remember. Let me illustrate. Clara Barton, whose name came up a couple weeks ago on Wednesday, but here's the whole story. Clara Barton was the founder of the American Red Cross. It came into being through a lot of criticism. Sometime later, Clara Barton was being interviewed, and the interviewer asked her about all of the criticism that she had received. And Clara Barton says, I don't know what you're talking about, but it's the media. And if it'll divide people, they won't let it go. You're welcome. So they pressed her. Well, no, they said this and they said that. And Clara Barton said again, I don't know what you're talking about. So then they got specific about a certain man. He said this, he said this, and he went after you. And for the third time, Clara Barton said, listen, I'm telling you, I don't know what you're talking about because I distinctly remember forgetting that. What attitude. What attitude. Now here's the myths. God can never forgive me. That's not true. Well, I could never forgive such and so. That's not true. Well, to forgive is to forget. That's not true. You can choose when you see this person not to have whatever happened run through your mind. And until you may, listen, if somebody hurts you and every time you see them, that runs through your mind, you're going to have a hard time with that. You're going to have to make a choice. When I see this person, I'm going to think about something else. Thank you. The rest of you are going to think about it. Now, what is the truth about forgiving others? We've looked at the myths, but now what is the truth? The first truth is this. Number one, realize that God has forgiven you. Realize that God has forgiven you. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, Paul said, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ's sake has forgiven you. Listen, God expects us to do for others what he has done for us. Forgive. The truth about forgiveness is this. God has forgiven you, but God expects you to forgive others. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse, there is a parable there. It's the parable about a king who returns and he's going to take an account of his servant. This parable is about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when the Lord returns, he's going to take an account of his servants. So the king comes back, and the first servant comes in, and this servant owes the king $10 million. I don't know of a slave that has $10 million. I think having $10 million would disqualify them from being a slave. There's no way he can pay this back. So the servant, before the king, the servant falls down on his knees. And he says, he begs him, give me time. The king says, you take him, take his wife, his children, and everything, and sell them. But the servant continues to beg the king, please, forgive me. So here's what the king does. The king forgives his debts. He forgives his debts, and he tells him to go his way. Brethren, what happens next is beyond incredible. That servant gets up off of his knees, walks outside, and finds a fellow servant who owes him a few dollars. And he grabs him by his throat and says, now you repay me. Listen to me, that first servant was clueless as to what had been done for him. Did you hear me? That man was clueless as to what had just been done for him. God forgives, that's true, and God expects us to forgive. What he's done for us, he wants us to do for others. Number two, you really need to write this truth down. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not an emotion. It's a choice. Now, when somebody does something to us, every emotion in us screams, no, I'm not doing this. Amen? Come on now. When somebody does something to us, every emotion screams, I'm not going to get over this. I'm not going to forget this. But brethren, we got to do the right thing. We got to do the right thing. Emotions is telling you one thing, but you got to do the right thing. Now, let me illustrate it like this. Tomorrow morning, listen to me. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., when that alarm clock goes off, every emotion in you is going to want to turn that thing off. Every emotion in you is going to want to grab that clock and throw that clock outside. But you got to do the right thing. You got to do the right thing. Now, let me tell you, when you do the right thing, listen to me. Let me tell you what happens when you do the right thing. You get up, you stir around, clean up, dress up, get that first cup of coffee, and then proceed on through the day. And guess what? As the time goes on, your emotions fall in line with what you're doing. I mean, you're not sitting there at lunch saying, No. Your emotions fall in line with what your actions will be. You understand what I just said? Let me say it like this. Somebody does something to you. Your emotions, no, this ain't about over. But you do the right thing. You may hold your nose while you do the right thing for a while. But you do the right thing. But I'm telling you, in time, you do the right thing, and in time, your emotions will catch up to what you're doing. Just like in the morning. Well, if your emotions will say, well, look, if you're going to get up and go, I'm going to go with you. I'm not staying here all day by myself. And your emotions fall in line. Do what you're supposed to do because you're supposed to do it. And at some point, those emotions will catch up with you. Listen, forgiveness, it's a choice. It's not an emotion. When you turn your life over to your emotions, you're going to be a mess. Lastly, three great truths. Realize God has forgiven you. Realize forgiveness is a choice and not an emotion. And finally, number three, realize that refusing to forgive someone cuts you off from God's forgiveness. When you fail to forgive, you're cutting yourself off from God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and verse 15, Jesus said that whosoever will forgive others of their trespasses, God will forgive them of their trespasses. And whosoever does not forgive others of their trespasses, neither will God forgive you. Listen, what words could the Lord have used to have made the point that he wanted to make? Forgiveness, if you want some, you got to give some. For 1 minute, let's go back to Matthew 18. Other servants saw what the first servant did, grabbing that man by the throat. Those other servants went into the king and said, you know the man who you just forgave? Well, he got up off the floor and went out there and got a fellow servant by the throat. You know what the king said? Bring him back in here. Bring him back in here. And the king looked at him and the king addressed him. He said, you are wicked. You are wicked. You came in here and asked me to forgive you for all of this, and I was willing to forgive you, and then you go out there and you're unwilling to forgive. And in verse 34 of Matthew 18, the Bible says that the king said, you take that servant and you turn him over to the tormentors until he can pay. That man will never get out of the reach of the tormentors. And then he said in verse 35, so it will be with your heavenly Father, that whoever does not forgive from their heart will not be forgiven. Listen. Do you need to forgive someone? Do you need to forgive someone? Then do it. Then do it. Do you need forgiveness? Then you can receive that forgiveness. And you can receive God's forgiveness right now. If you need to extend it, extend it. If you need to receive it, come and get it right now as together we stand and as we sing.